Hi, everyone. Welcome to What I Listened To This Week. This is Melanie. I'm here today with Sergio and Eric. Just the three of us today, but that's okay. We got some good music coming your way. We're going to start off with our icebreaker, like we always do. Music-related icebreaker. For those of you who haven't listened before, we always have a music-related icebreaker. And this week's icebreaker is if you could learn any musical instrument, what instrument would you learn and why? And again, this is like, you know, you had all the money in the world, all the time in the world, and you found the best teacher you would dedicate yourself to learning this instrument. What would it be and why? I'm going to go to Eric first today.
Okay. I think it's a real hard toss up between piano and guitar. Because I love them both, but I'd probably pick guitar because if I was lost somewhere, I figure I could always play guitar and, you know, beg for change.
Yeah.
And I just love the sound of it. And it's, I've tried to play the piano before, and I think I was traumatized by a really bad music teacher when I was a kid. And my sisters learned, so I know that it was me. But yeah, I think probably guitar.
Would you want to learn, I mean, you can learn both, but would you prefer to learn like classical guitar, jazz guitar? Like, do you want to just like shred an electric guitar and do like, you know?
Probably just some form of acoustic guitar.
Yeah. Mm. Cool. Yeah.
I think I would do a saxophone. I think I remember there's this clip. I don't know if it came out in SNL, but there's like this very sexy looking dude playing a saxophone, and then he would bust through a wall and just say, Sergio! And he would just like, the skit was just like this, the curse of this sexy saxophone man. And he would just show up and be like, Sergio! It's just so funny. So I think I would have to learn the saxophone just so I could do that.
So it would be for pure like comedic effect, yes. Not necessarily because like you truly love the instrument.
No,
that is the
purely saxophone. For comedic. Really.
Would it be an alto saxophone? Those are like the standard, not like a soprano like Kenny G or a big one.
Hmm. I don't know what type of saxophone he plays.
Yeah, I'm trying.
It did seem more like Kenny G-ish. Now that I'm trying to remember the video.
Okay. This is a soprano, I think.
Yeah, Kenny G has a soprano saxophone. Yeah. That's the straight one.
Hmm. I have no idea.
Okay.
But I would highly recommend. Well, I'll find this video.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look for this clip because I'm not picturing it for some reason. Yeah, I mean, alto's, you know, it's nice and mobile. It's a good size. You can still jump through a wall with it, I think, is what I'm kind of picturing. I love it.
What'd you pick?
I would learn cello. I've always wanted to learn cello. We didn't have string instruments as like an option in band when you had to like choose your band instrument in elementary school. We could just do like woodwinds and drums and stuff. And I always loved string instruments because they just kind of like mystified me in terms of how you could play them. Mm. But the cello is just like the emotional range of that instrument is so big. It could be very sad and kind of melancholy, which is sort of where I go immediately when I think of cello, but it can also be happy. And I just feel like it has a bigger emotional range than like a violin or viola or a bass or anything like that. So, so cello. I think I saw a cello player in college play in one of our campus buildings that wasn't music. It was like engineering, but it just had really good acoustics, so they would have concerts there. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing a cello player perform and just being like blown away and yeah, just really loving it. So
I saw Yo-Yo Ma at Mackey Auditorium in CU, and it was right after his Brazilian album had come out. And it was just so good.
Yeah.
And it was just him and the cello, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
No accompaniment at all.
Yeah.
and he played for over an hour, and it was just so superb. And yeah. seeing like a world-class guy like that do it, I understand what you mean about the emotional range, because he did everything.
Yeah, and I feel like for me, a cello can hold my attention musically in a solo performance like that more so than like, I mean, you can, you see virtuoso like violin players play, and it's, for me, like, it's still impressive and fascinating, but it just doesn't hold my attention as well, I think, as a cello for some reason. Yeah, so that would be, you know, I'm not ruling it out. I'm saying that it's going to happen at some point in my lifetime. I just need to buy a cello and dedicate some time to it. And they're not cheap instruments to purchase. So, but every now and again, I'll like see one on Craigslist and be like, oh, maybe I'll get it this time. Yeah.
Yeah, cello off Craigslist is like that banjo I sold the guy. I told him it had cracks in it. Not my fault.
You still bought it?
Yeah. It was $25.
I mean,
it was a decent band.
It's a good deal.
Yeah. So
put some tape over it.
Yeah.
Did you have it because you like tried to learn it and you were like, I don't want to do this anymore? Or did you just find it?
I was running a thrift store at the time, so all sorts of weird stuff would come in. So I'd buy like cheap stuff and say, one day I'm going to learn how to do this, or I'm going to learn how to play this. And I never did.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had this banjo sitting around. So I said, let me just get rid of it. And I tried to sell it to one guy, and he said, it's got all these cracks in it. That's why you got it. And then I sold. So I lowered the price from like $50 to $25. And the guy said, okay, yeah, I'll take it. It's fine. So there.
Yeah, I had a banjo in my possession for a few years with the intention of like, I'm going to learn it. And I never got there. I have a banjo lele, which is like a ukulele. It's a banjo strung like a ukulele, and it's miniature. And I can play that, but that's a totally different thing than a banjo. Banjo is like shockingly difficult, I feel, to learn. But yeah. Oh man, you ran a thrift store?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Oh, it was, yeah. I have many stories.
I bet. Oh my God. You should have a whole podcast that's just Eric's thrift store tales.
Ooh, thrift store tales. I like that. Coming soon to Spotify.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could tell about the time I got snowed in and was trapped in the store for 2 days.
What? Where was this thrift store?
In Broomfield.
In Broomfield?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, there's like, yeah, I've got a bunch of stories about working at it. Run a thrift store.
Coming soon to the LPM Podcast Network.
I could.
That would be fun.
I love it. I'm saying let's go for it. All right.
All right. Should we start with music?
Yeah, let's get to some music.
The first song is, is this Spanish or Italian?
I think it's referencing a city in Trinidad and Tobago.
Concerto?
There you go.
Concerto de Aranjuez. Concerto? I don't know. It would be Italian. I guess. It's got to be Italian, I would think. It's not concierto, which would be Spanish.
I mean, the musician is an Italian-American from New York, so.
So maybe it is Italian. All right, yeah. So the song is Concerto de Aranjuez by Frank Vignola and Vinny Raniolo?
Yep. Yeah, I won't really say anything. You can just jump right in and we'll talk after.
All right, here we go. Thank you.
All right. So that was Frank Mignola and Vinnie Raniello. That is off the 2013 record, Beloved Earth Songs. So Frank is a jazz guitar player. I think he got started in the sort of the early 90s. He's pretty heavily influenced by Pat Metheny, Django Reinhardt, and Wes Montgomery. Those are sort of like big ones. I sort of got into him and knew him more from like a gypsy jazz standpoint. That was really what when I first started listening to him, that was really what I knew him for. I first saw him when I was interning at WICN, which is a jazz radio station in Worcester, Mass. And I was running the board or whatever for his in-studio performance. And I just remember, I mean, I was like a freshman or a sophomore in college, so I was like pretty new to, I had been listening to jazz, but I think I was pretty new to like seeing like live performances of it, and with professionals anyway. And I was just like absolutely blown away watching him play. His like precision in his guitar playing, I mean, you can hear it, especially if you listen to any of his music with headphones on, like we just did, you can really hear the precision of his playing. And to watch that was like mind blowing. And so then I sort of like any chance I could get to see him live when he was in my area, I always did. And the first time I saw him, he was playing with Vinnie Raniello, and they weren't playing, they hadn't released this record yet, but they were playing some other tunes. But they're kind of known for gypsy jazz. They're also known for, he covers a lot of like R&B and rock and roll songs too, and just like jazz guitar versions of them. The one that he would always play at every show was, he does a rendition of Killing Me Softly, which is on the same record, that people would always love to hear him play. And I saw him play with Bucky Pizzarelli at one point, in Connecticut. I think it was in Connecticut. I don't remember what year it was, but it was ages ago. I love this record. I love all of his records. He released a gypsy jazz specific record the same year in 2013, that I definitely recommend. But I sort of have been listening to him because he released a new album last week called Jazz Soup. And some of the songs on it are ones that he's released before, but he's just re-recorded them. Some of them are new. He collaborates a lot with people, so he often will re-release songs or release an album because he's like, now I'm playing with these people. And he sort of goes through these phases where he plays with different people. So I got this email that he had released a new album, and I was listening to it earlier this week. Haven't been able to like find, they've only so far, he's only posted it on YouTube so far, so I haven't really been able to find a way to download it yet, or buy the CD or whatever it is, but so I was listening to that on YouTube, but I chose this one just because this is one of my favorite albums, and I listen to it all the time over and over again. I mean, my husband listens to it too, and it, like on any given day, he's probably whistling a song from this album. It's just one of my favorites from him, and I definitely recommend if you like this. Like he does a lot of different stuff. Obviously, this isn't gypsy jazz or a rock and roll cover, but which is another reason why I chose it. It's because it felt a little different from some of his normal stuff.
I only know about Frank because I think you and I ended up talking about gypsy jazz, mm-hmm. and then you recommended him, and then I listened to him, and I was really impressed, and I enjoyed it. I like the progression of the song. I thought it was actually going to end at 2 minutes, and then that's when I checked my phone, and then I was like, oh, shit, it's transitioning into something else that I wasn't expecting. And then that whole finale, like the whole climax part, was just awesome. Yeah, I loved it.
So I know this song from Sketches of Spain, Miles Davis album, mm-hmm. sort of in the post Kind of Blue era when Miles was doing different things, sort of progressing into different directions before his next big breakout, which was with Bitches Brew. So This is a song that he did on that album. Chick Corea has done a version, and his is called Spain, but it's basically the same song. Mm-hmm. And Al Jarreau does a version with lyrics. So it's an incredible song, and it's popular. And I don't know this guy, but I like that. That was really good. So Vinny is the rhythm guitarist?
Yeah, usually. Although on this record, and when I've seen them live together, they'll swap back and forth. I mean, Frank is the guy usually headlining, so he's usually the one. But they do kind of swap back and forth. But I think Vinny tends to be more rhythm guitar. I could be wrong, but that was always my impression of it when I would see them play together. And I don't know if they have like the specific credit on the song to one or the other.
Well, that was great.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely recommend. I mean, he's got a lot of stuff. There's a lot of just classic like jazz standard covers that he does. He has some original stuff. I think on that Gypsy Jazz record, I feel like he might have a few originals there. But yeah, he definitely does a lot of covers that that you'd recognize if you listen through his catalog. But
it gave me some like flamenco vibes.
Yeah. A little bit. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I wanted to like tap dance. Not, I don't know how to tap dance, but
yeah. Well, it's from a suite. The basic song is from a suite of. Is it 18th century Spanish music or is it 19th century? Rodrigo?
I think it's 19th century.
I think it's 19th century. Yeah. Hmm. So it comes from there, and this is just one of the numerous jazz versions of that bass.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah. One of the songs I was listening to from him today actually was he does a cover of Sound of Silence. And it was such an emotional version. I mean, the song feels like that anyway, but like hearing him play it on guitar just felt like that much more like heart-wrenching, which is interesting. But yeah, I definitely recommend checking out his other stuff. It's really good. I don't think he makes it out to Colorado very often. He's based in New York, so he often performs out that way, and he does some stuff in Europe. I feel like he's been out here like once or twice maybe, but I've never seen him in Colorado. I've only ever seen him in like Boston, Worcester, Connecticut. I think he's playing in Worcester like a year from now, so maybe I'll fly out there to go see him.
Well, but, Frank, if you're listening, come out to Longmont, Colorado.
Come on.
Even Boulder.
Yeah, preferably Boulder if you can. But yeah, come to Colorado. We'd love to see you. He's amazing to see live. So if you ever get a chance to do it, I recommend it.
Cool. Great song. Up next is a song called Murder at the Bingo Hall by Amigo the Devil.
It was a quiet night down at the gaming hall. The doubled up on cocaine and Adderall. The room full of smoke and the air so still that I choked when I raised up both of my hands to yell bingo. I was looking around trying to track down who the biggest threat would be. Seeing the fear in everybody's eyes and apparently it was me. I guess I know why. I've been coming here cleaning house for the past few weeks. I was B-I-N-G-I-N-G-D-I-N-G-O. From the second I walked in, I planned my attack. Three packets in hand, I sat at my usual table in back. He might have been calling the numbers, but I was calling the shots. After four in a row, I jumped up and yelled, "Someone should call the cops! I'm killing it." The long sitting around like a people garden. Tension builds as the wrap-up nears the end. This dapper is a weapon, sending everyone to bingo heaven. Held back by the numbers I don't have. Then the room got... Game begins now.
So that was Murder at the Bingo Hall by Amigo the Devil. So I brought up some notes here so I can be prepared. So Danny Curanos, better known as Amigo the Devil, is an American singer, songwriter, guitarist, and banjo player. His music is influenced by American folk, country, rock, and heavy metal with themes of murder, death, and other dark subject matters, which has led to his music being called dark folk or murder folk. Which is, I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. I love the story and like how it's a storied song. It's kind of like Flight of the Conchords. I don't know, kind of give me that vibe. But I just like how it's just like kind of competitive. Like he just talks about like competitiveness. He's kind of like paranoid about like the gamers just taking bingo seriously. and I just love like the momentum of just like how it just keeps going and the riffs at the back. And one of the things that I wrote down is he said this to like a reporter or something, but he said that he wanted to write a song about bingo because everybody loves bingo. If you don't, that means you're more grumpy than old grumpy ass people who play it. That says something. So that's it for me.
Well, that was pretty darn bizarre. It was really original. And I really liked the propulsion of it. Hmm. You know, I mean, it was driving. But it was really weird. So yeah, I'm not gonna put him on my list.
the vocals reminded me a little bit of Weird Al. Hmm. For some reason. I sort of got, and I don't. It wasn't like the subject matter being something weird. The vocals just sounded like it for some reason, but it was very bizarre. I did like sort of the driving beat of it too. I loved the, I don't know if it's the chorus or whatever, where he's like spelling out bingo, mm-hmm. but I thought that was kind of, it was catchy. I'll probably be humming it for the rest of the night. But it's interesting because, yeah, I mean, you take any other subject that like a typical like metal or death folk, I don't know how many death folk artists there are out there, but like you take any other subject that they would typically sing about in these songs, right? And you'd be like, well, this is a pretty dark, dark song. Like, but, and it still is dark, but the fact that the subject matter is bingo really like lightens it up and just makes it kind of fun. Even though it is like, it is pretty intense, but it's just kind of funny to think about the character like being so intense about bingo. It's like that juxtaposition, right? Of like a genre where typically we'd be talking about something like really like gloomy or gruesome or sad or whatever, but it's like, it's bingo. And sort of putting those two things together is really, at its creative, it's interesting. Yeah, have you listened, Sergio, to much of his other stuff?
Or? No, he, this came up on like last week's, was it last week's Mind Discover Weekly or something like that? Mm-hmm. I think after I started listening to all that satanic doo-wop stuff,
oh, yeah.
I got into some weird genres that Spotify
but you like up. Really screwed up like, the oh, algorithm.
And I don't know, I went down some dark rabbit holes of music. But I guess this guy, not in a bad way, but yeah, this guy just showed up and I was like, I wanted to like it. And then I was like, what? Something was weird. Yeah, something was weird about that. Like, it was original, but like, I don't know. It just caught me off guard. And I don't know why I didn't like it. But as I listened to it, I was like, yeah, I like the propulsion of it. It was unique. Mm-hmm. Not something I would probably listen to every day, but
yeah, those like the dissonant like piano chords where it sounds like a toddler like just banging on the out of tune piano in your grandmother's house. That stuff is like, who really wants to like that's I wouldn't really want to listen to that on a regular basis, but it is it feels like a novelty song, right? Like mm-hmm. It's just something that you'd put on a playlist and. You know, like a party playlist or a Halloween playlist, and it would come up and you'd be like, yeah, this song, all right. and then everybody would get a good chuckle. And I mean, no offense to the artist, but this particular song anyway, that's how I would kind of treat it. It's a novelty song. But yeah, it's creative. It's fun. It's unique for sure. So.
And weird.
I know Sergio, this has become your MO. It's like just bringing weird shit.
I'll bring something normal next time.
What is normal, though? That's the thing. It's different to everybody.
Good question. So the next and final song is it's called Upstairs by a Chinese Lamp by Esperanza Spalding.
And Wayne Shorter. And Billy Childs.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to say before we start playing it?
Yeah, since we got a little time, we can stretch that out here. This is an album of covers of Laura Nyro songs. Laura Nyro is sort of, to me, the lost American songwriter of the 70s, and she had huge hits that were recorded by other people. She had Save the Country, And When I Die by Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Eli's Coming, Three Dog Night, a bunch of stuff by Fifth Dimension. So she's a huge songwriter. I never thought she got her due as a musician and performer, but I love her music. So I've been listening to this. I've discovered this album, and this is a song of hers that's not as popular as her other ones. So I just thought, no, let's do this.
All right.
like soft Mediterranean wailing. Sleepy woman by the window, dreaming in the morning air of the takes her sweetness by the Chinese lamp upstairs. The steam of China tea.
What do you think, Eric?
Oh, I love it. But I love, well, it's Esperanza Spalding, who is, you know, I mean, she's a genius. She's plays upright bass. She sings. She writes. She's like, she sort of broke on the scene like Wynton Marsalis did as a classical player who also played like really incredible New Orleans jazz. She's like that sort of protean talent. And then Wayne Shorter, who died last week, who was one of the great jazz composers, players, and Billy Childs, who I didn't know, but plays pretty good piano. So, and Lauren Iroh, who I still think is way underappreciated.
I am curious what you like about this song before I give... before we give our feedback. Like, what is it about this song that you love?
I like that it's not sort of linear. It means telling a story, but the story is kind of incomplete, and that it the progression of the music itself isn't typical. So that's why it goes into a different direction and then it comes back down to something else again.
That's great, because I was gonna, that was similar to the feedback or the reaction I was going to give. I was actually looking up the sheet music while it was on. I wasn't like ignoring the song, but I was like really curious like what the time signature was, what the key was, like how it was like notated, because it was very it was almost like unsettling, because it doesn't follow like that like typical structure, and it was like it's very kind of unpredictable, both just in the structure of the song, but then also the instrumentation too, like just the way everything's kind of like playing together. It doesn't, I mean, the piano was kind of mimicking the melody that she was singing a little bit here and there, but the other instruments, it wasn't all like a nice little tight package that you'd tie up with a bow, right? Which made it so interesting and made you want to keep listening, because you're like, where is this going to go? What's going to happen next? And it's both the story, but it's also like musically doing the same thing. But yeah, it was like, it was almost a little bit unsettling listening to it, because you weren't really sure where it was going to go, and it's like hard to predict, but that made it all the more interesting. And yeah, just the musicians on it are all amazing anyway, so it's going to sound so good. But yeah, that was sort of how I felt about it. And that's why I wanted to like get your take on why you liked it first.
And it's Brad Spaulding besides, I mean, the vocal on it, I thought was really, I mean, it's not, I don't think it would be an easy song to sing,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she handled it. I mean, she yeah. just killed it.
Yeah.
And it's different than the Lauren Ira version.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because of the inclusion of Wayne Shorter on the saxophone and what he's mm-hmm. doing, sort of adding atmosphere to it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Tell us something.
You think, Sergio, did it inspire you even more to play the saxophone? That's all I could think of.
No, yeah. So I've listened to some Esperanza Spalding in the past. I think it was her radio album, and then her most recent album came up also on my Discover Weekly. Or Release Radar, and I listened to that, and I enjoy that one. I don't know. I didn't really like the song as much. I felt kind of bored by it. I just, yeah, maybe it was because I didn't know where it was going. I was just mm-hmm. like, I don't know. It just kind of sounded like something else I've heard already, and I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know how I feel about it. But it
doesn't get everybody, you know? Yeah, that's the thing. When we listen to these songs, you know, some of them hit and some of them are like some guy shouting about bingo.
Touché. Besides the China lamp.
Bingo behind the Chinese lamp. Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense, because I think sometimes, you know, you go into a song, whether you realize it or not, but like kind of subconsciously you're sort of expecting like, oh, it's gonna have like, you know, chorus, verse, mm-hmm. chorus, bridge, mm-hmm. whatever, or, you know, verse, chorus, bridge. We don't often feel like we're not often exposed to different songs with different structures. Because like, if, unless we're, you know, looking for it, or if we you know, if you listen to, you know, musicians that tend to go outside that box, I think sometimes. So sometimes if you, or even if you just haven't listened to music like that in a while sometimes, and then you get hit with it, it can be a little like, oh, I don't know about this. This is what I was expecting, right?
I did like her vocals, and I do like how dreamy it sounds. It kind of reminded me of, it was one of the first songs you brought up in this podcast. It was, I'll have to find it.
Yeah, originally when I heard
Bombay this, Dub Orchestra, Map of Dusk, it kind of like, kind of gave me some of those vibes a little bit.
Hmm.
You know, originally when I heard this song, I thought it was sort of envisioned somebody upstairs smoking opium.
Yep. 100%. I was like, I thought of this bar that I went to in Amsterdam that was just like purple velvet couches and pillows on the floor and like curtains. Sort of. And it was very smoky. Yeah, I definitely get that. I was getting, yeah, like sort of dreamy at first. At the very beginning, I was like, this sounds like maybe like a Disney song. It had this. I feel like the melody at the very beginning sounded like one of the songs from Pocahontas, Colors of the Wind. It was that like, I think it was, I don't know what, I can't remember. I think it was the piano playing it at the beginning. But anyway, but yeah, I got kind of like movie scene vibes at the beginning. But then, yeah, definitely like opium den kind of vibes for sure.
Opium vibes.
Are there other songs? Because you said that the songwriter wrote a lot of music for, you know, a lot of other artists. Are there any that off the top of your head that like, you know, the average listener might know and be like, oh yeah, she wrote like.
A lot of people did Eli's Coming.
Okay.
A lot of people did And When I Die. And a lot of people did Stone Soul Picnic. And, you know, those would be some that people would know. She did one that Barbara Streisand had a big hit with, and I don't recall which one that was. But, yeah, she wrote a bunch of songs, and then she got cancer, and she was dead before she was 50.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I feel like I don't know a lot. Like, the name sounded familiar, but I, like, wouldn't know necessarily, like, songs that she wrote. So I'm going to look her up and see if I can get more familiar with her catalog.
She's got a good discography, like all her. I really enjoy, I mean, majority of her albums and stuff. Yeah, it's fun. It's good music.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it? Anything else?
I think that's it. I have to go play bingo.
Longmont does have a bingo hall. Wonder if they'd play this song. Probably not.
Probably scare the heck out of old people.
Yeah, I know, right? I was also, that reminds me, it was that, there was that song that Molly brought, like, early on, episode one or two, which was, like, the Psycho, like, referencing the Psycho movie.
Oh, the shower scene.
Yeah, I sort of had flashbacks to that when I heard the bingo song. For sure. Just interesting. Don't often think of like bingo and a murder scene in a Hitchcock film. Yeah. Wow. Always interesting. All right. So I guess that wraps up this episode. So if you want to listen to other episodes of What I Listened To This Week, you can check out the LPM and LPMX YouTube channels. You can also listen to replays of this on LPMX, which is the radio station of Longmont Public Media. And Sergio, the new URL is it lpmxradio.com?
That's correct.
So Tuesdays and Thursday evenings, you can listen to replays of this. And don't forget to like and subscribe, leave comments if there's anything that you want to call us out on or any music you want us to listen to in a future episode. Make sure to let us know. Yeah, I think that's it. Thanks, everyone.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.